Dr. Kornbluth, at MIT, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate MIT's code of conduct or rules regarding bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
If targeted at individuals, not making public statements.
Yes or no? Calling for the genocide of Jews does not constitute bullying and harassment?
I have not heard calling for the genocide for Jews on our campus.
But you've heard chants for Intifada.
I've heard chants, which can be anti-Semitic depending on the context, when calling for the elimination of the Jewish people.
So those would not be according to the MIT's code of conduct or rules?
That would be investigated as harassment if pervasive and severe.
Ms. McGill, at Penn, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Penn's rules or code of conduct? Yes or no?
If the speech turns into conduct, it can be harassment, yes.
I am asking, specifically calling for the genocide of Jews, does that constitute bullying or harassment?
If it is directed and severe or pervasive, it is harassment.
So the answer is yes.
It is a context-dependent decision, Congresswoman.
It's a context-dependent decision. That's your testimony today. Calling for the genocide of Jews is depending upon the context. That is not bullying or harassment. This is the easiest question to answer yes, Ms. McGill.
She can't answer. She knows what the answer is. She just can't answer because it compromises her. And that's what so much of the stuff is. Like, these people don't want to answer the question and they don't want to be honest about it because they know the answer. They know what this means. They know that, I mean, it looks bad for Harvard. It looks so bad. Stefanik went to Harvard. I think she was a graduate of Harvard. She went to Harvard. They realize how bad this looks. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, all this stuff on our college campuses. And I still maintain that it's because not enough people got their butts whipped when they were younger. Not enough people learned the hard way. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. A number of things to discuss today, including some of the stuff that we got going on with the debate. The other debate that's coming up tonight. I'm going to watch it so you don't have to. But we're going to cover that. We're also going to look at some of the stuff that's making its way, some legislation that's making its way through the Senate, all of that. So in the meantime, welcome to the program. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can check out the simulcast, all that good stuff as well. Channel 347, YouTube, Facebook, and we're still on the struggle bus with a coffee machine. Some of you are so kind, and you've been like, rest in peace, Dana's coffee machine. Yes, thank you. I mean, it's really the struggle bus, man. That's a whole segment, Kane. We're coming back to it. It's a whole segment, man. That is a whole segment. All right, so some of the stuff, like I said, they've had these ongoing hearings, and I'm glad that they've been asking, you know, these tough questions and trying to figure out, you know, how are you? I mean, they looked the other way for so long. I mean, this has been pervasive on college campuses. It's been growing for quite a while, but now it's like really, you know, up in your face. And so it's sad that they have to have this like song and dance around saying something that's obvious. I mean, what is the context? When she says, oh, well, there's a context to it. What's the context? For real, like, what is the context to that? There's no context to, you know, from the river to the sea. Although, I don't know if you've been seeing, they're making the river to the sea a reality in Hamas's tunnels. Have you guys seen this? So there's been this ongoing strategy deliberation from the IDF on whether or not they're going to flood the tunnels, the Hamas's tunnels, and they are. They are flooding the tunnels. And there was the reason why, obviously, that they were deliberating about whether or not this is something they were going to do is because there was the concern that hostages are in these tunnels, but they don't even know. I mean, they can't even, part of Hamas's lying and going back and forth and not being honest about the hostages and who's alive and who isn't is that you may have the IDF have to act like this to defend themselves. So they have they've gone ahead with it, and they've been flooding these tunnels with seawater. The IDF has been setting up some pipes and pumps in Gaza, but they have about five pumps about a mile north of this refugee camp, And they're flooding this 300-mile network of tunnels. They said it's going to be fully flooded within weeks. That's how long it takes because there's so much of it. Weeks. That's insane. And they want to drive out the terrorists. They want to make the tunnels inoperable. And they have they have footage of it. They've been shown it. So it's been happening. It's been underway. They brought the sea to them. How nice is that? They brought the sea to Hamas. You know, Israel does quite a lot. You know, they leave Gaza Strip for them. Now they're bringing them the sea. I mean, good heavens. So they've been, this was something they were deliberating about as to whether or not they were going to do it. Now they're flooding them. They're doing it gradually so that they can kind of monitor any kind of side effects, anything that, you know, they maybe perhaps haven't anticipated before. And they want to make sure that they can get, that hostages have time to get out. They even want to give Hamas the opportunity to get hostages out before it gets too bad. But this is the first round, so they're flooding the tunnels, and we'll see what happens after this. But they really need to eliminate that whole network that Hamas has really, really used. That's where they've been staging their attacks from. That's where they retreat every single time they launch an offensive. After they broke the ceasefire, again, that's where they retreated. So this is something that has to be done. And apparently Hamas has no interest in releasing any other hostages. That's the other thing. I mean, they're not releasing anybody else. And maybe this will move the needle towards that. Maybe we'll see. But this is what's been happening, at least over there now, while we've been having these hearings with members of Congress. And this wasn't the only thing, too, because you had the president of Harvard, you had the president of MIT, you had UPenn, and all of them, they kept all trying to say, well, we're just, you know, calling for the genocide. Can they name which river? If you ask these people, hey, what, when you're talking about from the river to the sea, what do you mean? What river? What river are you talking about? Out of curiosity. What river? What sea? Can you name the sea? Can you name any of these geographical points that you've been talking about? Like that one crazy lady who was, what was she saying? From the mountains to the sea? It's a psychological thing. And we talked a little bit about on these universities, how students' minds have been seeded for this, how they've been seeded for this kind of intellectual corruption, for the lack of a better way to put it. But also there's this scenester. People want to be scensters. People really want to be viewed, as being in the know. They want to be viewed as being in the know. They want to be viewed as being a part of something. Maybe it's because of the digital explosion that makes it seem like it's harder to be a part of something for people. I don't know. I don't. There's a psychological answer, I think, there. But when I was listening to these university presidents dance around the obvious answer to the questions from members of Congress, whether or not it's genocide, there's no context you put it in, unless you're following up with not, there's no context to put it in. None. This wasn't the only hearings that have been going around that have been happening on DC. They have been discussing the situation with women's sports. It's been really interesting to hear some of the lawmakers about this too. I watched Riley Gaines speak yesterday. There was this dust up that she had. So they had, I think it was Daily Signal that had someone there testifying before members of Congress. And then they had Riley Gaines who was talking. And she said this, audio sound by three, because they lost their minds. They had like the congressional member to whom she was speaking immediately had a tantrum and they stopped hearings because they wanted that struck from the record. Listen to this.
And Ranking Member Lee, if my testimony makes me transphobic, then I believe your opening monologue makes you a misogynist. Thank you.
And she was not happy.
Thank you, Ms. Gaines. I now recognize Ms.
If you could see in the simulcast that Juan just showed, she sat there. She didn't say anything for a moment. And then it made her so mad, she couldn't even focus on what the next woman testifying was saying. Like the other members there, they went on and they introduced the next person to testify, she started speaking, and that member of Congress stopped the whole proceedings. She wanted that penalty struck from the record. But she didn't have any aversion when she called Gaines and called these other people testifying. She was literally referring to them as being as being somehow transphobic and bigoted, etc. She was the one who was saying all of this. She was the one who was casting aspersions on their characters. And then when that's the response, she gets upset. Well, tough. I mean, that's you. If that, and it's true, if they're then somehow transphobic, then you're misogynistic. You're a misogynist. I wanted to play this audio soundbite too from AOC. This was something else. Audio soundbite. I think this is 18. We'll play some of this because this was crazy.
You said there are some proposals. I mean, we've seen this in Ohio. There was a proposed ban on trans athletes that originally allowed for genital examinations on minors in order to quote unquote protect women. Is that correct?
Unfortunately, yes.
And so we're seeing here in this guise, under the guise of not only trying to further marginalize trans women and girls, we are talking about opening up all women and girls to genital examinations when they are underage.
That's right.
Potentially just because someone can point to someone and say, I don't think you're a girl.
That's correct.
And we're saying this in an environment of a post-Dobbs America where states are criminalizing access to abortion and want nothing more than data on women.
She's like targeting trans women for playing sports makes all women less safe and blah, blah. First off, I didn't realize the big hairy dude who's like 6'3" swimming against all the women at Penn. I didn't realize that that was a baby child infant. Are we doing the leftist age characterization here? Is that what we're doing? Because you know how they tried to say that Hunter Biden is an infant baby and he's like, what, 56, something, 57 years old. He's like, he can go for the early bird special at Denny's and they're like baby infant Hunter Biden. So is this the same thing? Like they're doing these baby infant children? Because the people that I've been seeing are grown dudes that have deep voices and they went through puberty as men and they're competing as men. I watched, There were two male cyclists cosplaying as chicks who won some sort of cycling thing. I don't like bicycling. Can we make sure we have that audio safe from yesterday too? I forgot to play that for people yesterday. Did you guys see that? They had this girl standing on the podium. She was third place. She was tiny compared to them. Like one of their whole legs was 3/4 of her body length. They were huge compared to her. Are we talking about those baby infant children, little bitties? Is that what we're talking about? That doesn't make any sense. We got a lot to get into. They're also trying to push an assault weapons ban in the Senate. We're going to talk a little bit about how that's not going to actually go anywhere. Although now it's become very, very difficult for us in the House because Republicans stupidly gave up George Santos. And now Kevin McCarthy says that he's done. There goes your House majority. Wow. Republicans just love kicking themselves in the beans, don't they? Great leadership, RNC. Truly stunning. Our partners over at Wise Foods. This is great to have, and you should have it. You should always, always be prepared for whatever life may throw your way. Because when emergencies strike, seriously, the last thing you want to worry about is where your next meal will come from. We had this whole state of Texas that froze over. Everything closed. Y'all remember that? That was just like a couple of years ago. Everything closed. Good luck getting some from the grocery store. Good luck. The grocery store couldn't even get deliveries. So where do you know where your next meal is going to come from? If heaven forbid something like that were to happen, this is where Wise Food Storage comes in. You can save $50 on a 4-week survival food kit, free shipping at preparewithdana.com. It's a 2-bucket 4-week survival food kit, 2,200 calories, 64 grams of protein per day. 28-day supply, and everything is made with high-quality U.S. ingredients. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, and it has a 25-year shelf life as well. Lots of different dishes. Tasty, tons of protein. Order yours today at preparewithdana.com. Save $50 on your 4-week survival food kit, plus free shipping. That's preparewithdana.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Steve's having a Buddy the Elf moment right now in D.C. He's like, guys, it's snowing. The joy in his voice when he just announced that to us. It's like, if we could box that and sell it, it would be great. Conor McGregor is hinting at a presidential election bid in 2025. He wants to run Ireland. Well, he's thinking about it. He's hinting about it. He's thinking about a presidential run. He's criticized everybody else out there. He got mad. He said that he'd also privately fund weekly votes to ensure accountability, saying that it wouldn't be me as power in power as president, people of Ireland. It would be me and you. And he's done with the way that they were handling everything, especially after that stabbing and then the rioting. Brenda Lee's Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree tops charts 65 years after its release. That's pretty cool. She's still, like, her track's still rocking it. An Airbnb host's son secretly filmed a guest in the shower and then tried to blackmail her into sending him nudies. Yeah, that's according to prosecutors. See, this is why Airbnbs kind of freak me out. You know, I get a little freaked out. Like, I get it. A lot of people do it as, like, a side gig to get some income. I hear you, but, man, it just freaks me out. The first humanoid robot factory is about to open. None of this ends well. If you've ever seen, I don't know, Pluto, if you've ever seen iRobot, if you've ever seen literally any robot movie. And U.S. students' math scores are plunging in a global education assessment. Because, well, that explains the economic illiteracy. Stick with us. We just, like, everybody just needs to take a nice, hot, relaxing bath. Go to your skincare stash. Every lady has this. They have a drawer or the cabinet where they keep all their skincare stuff. And you know what? You need to just get the Hydrate and Protect routine that Nimi has. And that includes the anti-aging moisturizer and the cleanser. And just slather that moisturizer in your face. Close your eyes. Put some cucumbers on there and just, you know, get away. It's what we all need to do. Here's the thing. This is a great Christmas gift. Nimi Skincare has great gifting options. If you're unfamiliar with them, hold up. How mad has everybody been? Because all these skincare companies have been using dudes with rough skin to promote beauty products to women. It is unrealistic. It is not what women use. And it completely ignores that women have different requirements. So this is where Nimi Skincare comes in. They thought, oh my gosh, if skincare companies are going to walk off a cliff, women are actually going to need, you know, skincare products. So that's what they were founded to do. And that's and they have great skincare products. I love their the hydrating, because I have dry skin. I love how super hydrating their moisturizer is. It's not tested on animals, free of parabens, all that good stuff. Save 10% off. Get 10% off using code Dana. All made in the USA. With people who think like you, and they're 100% guaranteed. So you don't have to compromise your values to have great skin. Makes a great gift. NIMI, NimiSkincare.com. And make sure that you use promo code Dana for 10% off. Get a gift card, get that winter bundle, gift it. Your skin will thank you. Your gift recipient's skin will thank you as well. It's NimiSkincare.com.
We are getting our pockets picked. As we send billions of your tax dollars to countries like South Africa to stop burning coal, are they cooperating? No way. What's the climate agenda's next goal? Going after methane. Be prepared to get our pockets picked once again. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
We already have a decade's worth of proof that a ban on military-style assault works and saves lives, plain and simple. After I led the passage of the assault weapons ban, I carried the bill in the House as a congressman, alongside our late colleague, Senator Feinstein, who carried it in the Senate. What happened? America saw a significant decrease in mass shootings and in gun deaths.
No, it didn't. It didn't at all. That's Senator Chuck Schumer yesterday. Now, I know some of you are like, oh, it's probably not going to go anywhere. We just lost a couple seats in the House. You might want to be careful about that. That's why it's important to watch all this every single time they try it. Like I said, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this first hour. So they're introducing this. It's just another assault weapons ban. It's in some ways, and I've gone over it, in some ways it's very similar to all the garbage that Dianne Feinstein used to introduce. And I don't know how many before she passed. She had put in a ton of these. I think every couple of years she wanted to propose an assault weapons ban. And the assault weapons ban, just so we're clear, the assault weapons ban in the 90s didn't actually ban a specific rifle. everyone's like, oh, it banned AR-15s. I mean, so many people don't understand that the AR-15 is just, it's you could make it look like anything and it's going to function like that particular type of modern sporting rifle. But I think it's people just, they freak out about it because it's black and people put stuff on it, accessories and things. And they think that that makes it, for the lack of a better way to put it, shootier. So this thing, it's called, there's the Go Safe Act. And people keep going, oh, it's just, you know, just some modern everyday, you know, just some, what's the phrase that they use all the time? Gun sense, or just modern, you know, just sensible, right, common sense gun control. That's the kind of stuff. There's some things in here that go a little further than some of the things that Dianne Feinstein has done. They also, the gun control people also learned a new phrase, gas operated. They have no idea what it means. They just heard it somewhere and they're like, we got to put that in the bill. So they're like, they're going out. I mean, they basically want to open the door to going after literally every single type of semi-automatic rifle. That's why they always go after things like AR-15s, even though AR-15s are, as we've talked about, used the least. And I was talking, I had this conversation with a friend of mine just literally the other day, even though they're used the least in homicides that are committed by people illegally possessing and illegally using firearms, hands, feet, and fists beat them. They're most targeted because they are so commonly owned. I wanted to take you back real quick before I dive into this, just to give you some context on it. Back in the days when the founders were deliberating the Second Amendment and how to protect colonists, these burgeoning Americans' right to protect themselves, you have to remember that the founders were coming from basically like a military occupation. You know, the founders were living under a military occupation, and they felt as though they did not have the ear of the people who were supposed to be adhering or tending to their best interests all the way over across the sea in England. And so they didn't want only the military to be armed. They didn't want only the government to be armed. And it's why everybody who, whether they were a farmer, who didn't matter who they were, they had cannons, they had arms, they had everything. In fact, when Washington was first bringing in soldiers for his army, I mean, they were requiring that you bring your arms. I mean, they were requiring that was an early requirement that you have to have firearms in order to be able to serve, because they didn't have the ability financially to go and buy guns for everybody. So that's an important context here. Secondly, when they were deliberating the creation, the drafting of the Second Amendment, one of the things that was an understanding between all of the colonies was a phrase called affrighting. And this, I guess you could have that mean modern day brandishing today. Brandishing isn't just, I'm accidentally showing you my sidearm. Brandishing, there is intent to intimidate there. There's some careful legalities that govern how this word is brought up in a court of law. And back during the days of the colonies, the term affrighting, this is something Scalia noted in his Heller opinion, there was an observable rule on affrighting. However, it only dealt with really uncommon weapons, like things that are weird and wild that nobody else has. It wasn't for commonly owned things, things that people recognized, they knew. And there was a second part of that. It wasn't just that, you know, they had to be, that it was commonly owned. You couldn't also take it and use it and brandish it as a way to intimidate people or intimate that you are considering using some sort of lethal force against them. And the example that Scalia gave in his Heller decision was like a head axe. And this was something that was observable in terms of regulation in the colonies. And when he talks about gun control and limitations of the Second Amendment, for all of the gun control activists out there that have not read his opinion and don't understand the history of the creation of the Second Amendment, they try to cite those words as an example to you to say, oh, well, look, Scalia was even saying that there are limitations, but they're not explaining to you exactly what he was talking about or the history and breadth of what he was talking about. So I feel like that's important context going in here because it's something that's going to come up continually. But I share this story with you for the specific purpose of touching on commonly owned, that phrase. That phrase is supremely important. It was supremely important during the times of the colonies. It was supremely important during the Heller case, and it's still supremely important. Why is it so important? Because if they go after the most commonly owned things, how much more difficult for them do you think it will be to go after everything else? That is the point. So that is why they specifically target this rifle, which is used the least. Now, if they were really serious, and I don't think they should do this, they would be taught. This is what they did in the 90s before they switched it up to start focusing on rifles. They wanted to go after handguns. They tried going after handguns in the 90s, and then they realized, oh my gosh, it's going to be a disaster for us. We can't do this. Let's switch it up. And they stopped doing it because it was really, I mean, they were getting beaten to death in the polls heading into elections back during that time. That's when you had the Gingrich conservative revolution and everything else. But this GoSafe Act, I mean, it is an absolute abridgment of your rights. It's an affront to your rights. And it goes after not just your ability to keep and bear arms, but it goes after, you know, all of firearms manufacturing. You don't have to own a gun. You don't have to be skilled, have a great skill set as a marksman or anything else to understand that this is a doorway that can go after everything else. Again, I reiterate, firearms are merely a variable. If one of your natural rights can be compromised, all of your natural rights can be compromised. That's just the way it is. And so this is no different. Now, I don't know, you know, there's a potential that this won't even make it through the Senate because you do have people like Kyrsten Sinema. You do have people like Joe Manchin. I can't imagine that Joe Manchin would support something like this. And previously, he hasn't been on board with some of these other things that, you know, the Feinstein gun ban stuff. But I mean, I just don't know if they have you. I mean, in order to stop a filibuster, they have to have 60 votes. And I seriously don't think there's no way that they got 60 votes. You cannot convince me that they've got 60 votes. I think that this is stupid for them to do this. They're making a gamble here. They're hurting so bad in the polls with their own base, Democrats are, that they have to go. This is a Hail Mary for them. If you've ever noticed, whenever times get tough for Democrats, when it concerns economics or even foreign policy, they always run to the well of gun control so that they can give the appearance of doing something without actually ever doing anything. If they wanted to get a handle on crime, you would see serious judicial reform. If they wanted to get a handle on crime, you would see, you know, the demands for a mandatory minimum for a lot of these repeat offenders instead of wrist slaps. And here you can get out on a tenth of 10, you know, 1% of bail, et cetera, et cetera. They would actually be really overhauling the judicial system instead of constantly targeting law-abiding gun owners, which brings me to the point that this is a gamble because it's going to hurt. It could hurt them with their base. They are hemorrhaging independents right now. Now, they're not hemorrhaging independents to a specific candidate on the right. They're just hemorrhaging independents, people who are ranking them super high with negatives every single time there's a survey and they're asked, what do you think that the Democrats' job performance is on the issue of crime? What do you think the Democrats' job performance is on the issue of the economy? I mean, they're getting hammered by specifically independents. And as we've talked about before, elections are lost and won in the margins. That's what determines it. People are wanting to protect themselves. You have members of communities that typically are not communities that are found to be synonymous with Second Amendment and firearm ownership that are flocking to gun stores and purchasing firearms right now. And when you're talking about limiting people's ability to not only do that, but to defend themselves while not doing anything to strengthen the laws or not even so much the laws, strengthen the enforcement of said laws from a judicial perspective against these repeat offenders to protect the innocent. That's a problem in these people's minds. So that's why I say that this is a major gamble for them. That's how you know it's so bad economically that they have to run to this well, which is historically in an election season, hurt them every time that they have tried it. So it's a gamble. Now, whether or not this, you know, if it goes through the Senate, whether or not it goes through in the House, I don't know. I have another two-way thing I'll talk to you about here coming up later. But, you know, then you've got this issue with the House and Kevin McCarthy, which we're going to dive into because Kevin McCarthy's leaving. Republicans just removed George Santos. Kathy Hochul in New York is going to replace Santos with a Democrat. So Republicans literally shot themselves in the foot. It is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. I have never seen a party that is so afraid to fight the culture war, a party that is so afraid of candidates that are in the primary, a party that is more concerned about keeping politicians happy right now than the voters. The leadership of the RNC is disastrous. I don't know what else to say. People will get mad at me for saying it. Y'all can just kiss my grits. I don't care. Deck my halls. Because it's true. Somebody's got to say it. Instead of, you know, everybody's so busy butt kissing because they want to make sure that they get an invite to the big, you know, the cocktail Christmas party. They want to make sure that if there's, you know, the Republican convention, they want to get invited to all the cocktail parties at the convention. You need to be a little bit more concerned about having a country to have a vote in before, you know, a little bit more than you are about your power adjacency and your popularity. Good grief. None of that stuff's going to matter if the country falls by the wayside. So we're going to hammer that. But the other thing I was going to bring up real quick, and I talked about this very briefly on Fox Business last night, was this. A couple of you have emailed this. All these nuns, you've seen these activist nuns, which I'm kind of on the bench as to whether or not that's a great punk band name. So there's a group of activist nuns that are bringing lawsuits against a couple of firearms manufacturers, and they're trying to accuse them of deceptive advertising, which I think is a frivolous lawsuit and a stretch. I want to remind everybody that back in November of 2021, when you had this dude drive his Ford Escape through a Christmas parade in Waukesha, did you see everybody going out and blaming Ford? Did you see people filing lawsuits against Ford saying Ford needs to make their cars in a way that doesn't inspire third parties to use them in a criminal fashion? Did you see any of that stuff? You didn't, did you? Because that would be stupid. That would be dumb for people to do that. But yet they'll do it with things like firearms manufacturers. Gun companies do not make firearms to be used by criminals or to be used in an illegal fashion. And it's, you know, it's specious to say otherwise. And the marketing being deceptive, the reason they're hitting that's because that's the only weak read that they think that they can get them on. But I think it just demonstrates a vast misunderstanding and a lack of, these people don't grasp the concept of that law that governs advertising, truth in advertising. These companies are only responsible if they have defective products or if they lie about what you're getting, you know. I mean, that's what the law entails. But these nuns, all this is they're shareholders. They're small dollar shareholders in these companies. They've been going to shareholder meetings and filing proposals. This lawsuit, I think, is frivolous. It's not going to go anywhere. But they're playing the long game here, you know, because these are nuns. There's a couple hundred of them. They're doing all of this because you can't. You're going to work. You don't have time to, with all the stuff that your 401k is invested in, do you have time to go to shareholder meetings for these companies that you might have investments in for retire? You don't. That's the whole point. They can and they do. But I really do think that if they believed in their stated mission as much as they say they do, I think that they would probably speak a little bit more truth instead of political propaganda whenever they get in front of the press on this, which makes me not only doubt their mission, but it also makes me question their commitment to their faith, which might be kind of ignorant to say, but it's no less honest. Looking for a proactive solution in the battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code DANA10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code DANA10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code DANA10. That's Dana and the number 10.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Would you be running for President Trump wasn't running?
I expect so, but look, he is running and I have to run.
Would you drop out of Trump now?
No, not now.
Boy, that's like a lot of, gives you a real boost of confidence, Democrats, in your guy, doesn't it? No, this guy's running, so I've got to run. I got to run. I'm running because of you or because I want to, no, it's just because that. Dude, that's like some low energy Joe right there. I honestly think he needs some of Hunter's crack or cocaine. Is there a difference?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, hold up, sidebar. Is like crack just like the great value version of cocaine?
No, I think it's actually a more concentrated version of cocaine.
I don't know, because see, I just remember that one interview with Whitney Houston, And she was talking about whether or not Bobby got her on the booger sugar. And like they had it, the way that she was appalled and offended if when she was asked if it was crack, she was like, crack is whack. And it almost sounded like she didn't think it was bougie enough.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, crack is less bougie.
That was my takeaway from that.
But I think more dangerous.
I don't know. I mean,
and
I
not
would
to
assume,
give any, you know, love.
You know, the healthier drug, cocaine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, they're both horrible. Let's stop talking about this.
No, I was fascinated because I'm like, is there a hierarchy of, you know, I don't know anything about this. You know, there's certain things I don't know about.
The bottom line is Biden needs uppers.
He needs something.
He needs something.
He's like one of those. I had this robot when I was a kid, and it would walk, kind of. But when the batteries would wear down, it was real slow, and it just was just real moved real slow. I just get. I have this impression. It just seems like he seems very similar. Yeah. He needs new batteries, man,
yeah, he does.
And something. I don't know.
His wattage.
Whatever makes Hunter look completely tweaked and suspicious all the time. Paranoid, that they need to give that to Joe just to make him awake, get him awake. All right, so coming up in our second hour, Kevin McCarthy's leaving Congress. So we got George Santos is out, that's a seat. Kevin McCarthy is stepping down as well, and he says, you know, his the next chapter's beginning and all this stuff, and he's going to do something different. Meanwhile, the majority that we have in the House shrinks ever more. Stay with us. We're going to discuss that coming up. Our friends at Black Rifle Coffee. This is the coffee that I drink every day because it's the best coffee that you can get. It's bougie coffee without the bougie price. And by bougie, I mean that they're nerds about how they roast their beans. This is like the only coffee company of its type where they actually bring the beans to the United States and roast them all throughout the week at their two locations. Everybody else out there white labels it. What does that mean? It means that they have other people in foreign countries roast the beans and then they bring it into the U.S. and white label it and try to act like it's a big thing to sell. But that's not what Black Rifle Coffee Company does. These guys are legit coffee nerds. This is a veteran-owned company. They employ veterans. They employ active duty and all their families. And they are super focused on making the best coffee in the nation. And it truly is. They're also continuing to raise money for the Boot Campaign, one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country. They have all these programs that treat the invisible wounds of war. A lot of stuff that our vets deal with today, that's what the Boot Campaign treats. They're raising money for it through their ready-to-drink coffee over at Black Rifle Coffee. So you get a 12-pack of that through the coffee club, and that money goes right to the Boot Campaign. And the coffee club, by the way, this is a great Christmas gift. If you're looking for something for the person who has everything, the coffee club is where it's at because you can get, you know, a year subscription. You can choose the roasts and you can change them too online, however you want to do it in your account. You can choose your roast frequency of shipment. That coffee is sent to your house. You never run out of coffee. The best coffee, free shipping, and it's affordable. So make sure you visit Black Rifle Coffee, blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Fuel your caffeine fix and help make a difference in the lives of vets and their families. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Today, I am driven by the same purpose that I felt when I arrived in Congress. But now, it is time to pursue my passion in a new arena. While I'll be departing the House at the end of this year, I will never, ever give up fighting for this country that I love so much. To all those who have supported me through the years, especially our constituents, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Wow. So Kevin McCarthy is stepping down. He's not going to run for re-election. This is getting crazy because it's going to make it to where the House is going to be more in play than ever. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of the second hour. I was reading his piece. He's got this piece in the Wall Street Journal where he says that I'm leaving the House, but I'm not leaving the fight. And he says that he's going to resign after he was ousted as speaker. And that news coming this morning, he'd made the announcement in the Wall Street Journal in this opinion piece. He said that, quote, no matter the odds or personal cost, we did the right thing, et cetera, et cetera. And he says that I'm going to continue to recruit our country's best and brightest to run for elected office. and I'm committed to lending my experience to support the next generation. And so he said that he's an optimist. He listed his accomplishments. And so now, at the end of the year, our majority is now just two seats. I think I said five yesterday. I meant four. Our House majority is now at two seats. So going into 2024, we are going to have two vacancies, 213 Democrats, 220 Republicans. And you got to have 218 majority to pass legislation. So we could only, if Republicans are passing a bill going into this, that means you literally have two votes to spare. That's it. And if they lose more than two votes, that legislation's not passing. Great time for Chuck Schumer to introduce that assault weapons ban in the Senate. I'm telling you. So we're going down to two. And there's already a special election for Santos's 3rd District on February 13th. She was saying that they could appoint somebody, you know, but they're going to do a special election. And that seat, there is literally like a 50% chance that that Republicans will lose the House in 24. Just going to be honest with you. There are so many seats that they have to defend right now. Going into 2024, there are so many seats that they have to defend. And there are a lot of seats in purple areas. Here's the thing about making a coalition. I don't like the term big tent. I know we say big tent, but I think the more accurate way to describe this is a coalition. You got to look at it like that. Because in a coalition, when you make a coalition, you're having people from that are coming together that agree maybe on 70 or 80% of those things. Now, Reagan famously said that my 80% friend is not my 20% enemy. That is how you have to look at this stuff. It's strategic. Everybody wants purity. You will lose all the time by demanding purity. Now, that's not to say, do not do a drive-by like progressives do. That's why you're not like that. That's not to say that there aren't issues worth fighting for and digging in on. That's just assumed. But on some of these other issues, not even so much the issues. I think the bigger issue isn't the particular topic that, you know, Republicans might be fighting on, but rather the approach, rather the strategy, the tactic that they're using. That seems to be where Republicans get really bogged down, because not everybody agrees on the best way to go forward with certain of these strategies. And that's, I mean, it's kneecapping them. So it's all about incrementalism. Incrementalism is the name of the game. You got to baby step it. And when you're making a coalition and you have all these different people, especially in 2016, there were a lot of new Republican voters in 2016. When you have that many new Republican voters come in, and they were and populism contributed to that. I like populism in small amounts. Too much and it gets out of control. That's it with anything, really, except capitalism and freedom. But when you're building a coalition, you got a lot of new Republican voters. You got to keep those voters. And then it gets really, really tricky. It gets tricky because you have to be consistent on selling freedom. You can't just slap slogans on everything and do a bunch of nonsense. You have to be consistent in selling freedom. And here's the other thing that the Republican Party doesn't want to seem to acknowledge. You got to have results. You have to talk about solutions more than criticisms. You have to have a record of achievement. You have to be able to bring receipts. Because for independents, you all need to consider this. For people to switch their vote in 2016, remember when Hillary Clinton ran, she lost a huge segment of blue-collar voters. These were people who were reliable Democrat voters. They showed up. They voted for Democrats. They showed up. They voted for probably Dukakis. They showed up and they voted for Al Gore. They showed up and they voted for Bill Clinton. They showed up and they voted for John Kerry. They showed up and they voted for Barack Obama. Hillary Clinton was a little step too far. She'd always been unpopular. You need to understand that. She is one of the most unpopular. She probably has negatives higher than Kamala Harris, if I'm being honest. And after all of those years of dutiful party line votes, how did Democrats repay and thank that voting bloc when that voting bloc was like, Hillary's a step too far for us? She didn't even go to a lot of the blue wall states that she, that's why she lost blue wall. She needed to go to a lot of these states in order to maintain Democrat hold. She didn't even do it. And the Democrat Party responded by questioning and impugning the character of all those voters. They were racist because they didn't vote for the old white lady who fell down in the street and lost her Tory Burch flat. They were racist because they didn't vote for her. After being so reliable, were they racist when they voted for y'all? Like, all up until that point? Like, I'm curious. But that's how they treated them. And they wonder why they made so many of them mad. Here's the thing, though. You got to keep those voters. If those voters are going to risk everything, if they're going to risk being ostracized, if they're going to risk having their characters impugned, being called racist, maybe being given the cold shoulder at the water cooler at work, being invited to fewer events with friends because that's how tribal everything is and that's how deep some of these political affiliations run, then you got to give them something for the return of that investment of their vote. And I'm going to be honest, a lot of them were real mad about immigration. They didn't think enough was done. You got to be, you can't say that I'm going to do all this stuff and then that you were hampered and you weren't able to do it. Either you can do it and you're enough of an ass kicker that you can get it done or you're not. This is why you have to manage expectations as a politician. You go in there and you oversell in a time like this. I know that this time is the only time I think that you would be able to say that. Because these independents are used to seeing something at the end of a hard work day. They're used to seeing receipts. You can't do people like this. So this is crazy. So Republicans have to manage expectations and they got to talk solutions and they have to show a record of deliveries. And they're hurting with independents right now too. It's not just Democrats. There is a malaise, and this is what the press wanted. This is what I was warning you about months ago. This is why on this program, I have refrained from getting heavy into the primaries until we get closer to Iowa. And I'm very slowly moving in that direction because there is a measurable malaise with the voting bloc right now. People are tired, and that doesn't just extend to Democrats. It extends to the Republican Party too. They get tired, and then you know how you keep hearing the same stuff over and over again, your eyes kind of glass over? They're tired of hearing about everything. They're tired of hearing about the day-to-day machinations of D.C. And Republicans have got to deal with this better. They have to deal with the coalition. They need to focus strictly on results. They need to be focusing on the things that build a coalition. Everything else you can attend to in that 20% margin. But they need to focus on the economy, having a strong foreign policy, the economy. They need to focus on the border. These are top three things. Because that's going to retain. You'll have people who are independents that maybe they don't feel as strongly about life as you do. And I hate to say it, maybe they don't even, either that or maybe they don't feel as strongly about the Second Amendment as you do. But they are voting their wallet. They're voting their jobs. They're voting not sending their kids to war. That's how they're voting. Republicans have to play to that specifically first. Then the other things, because you want those voters to go, maybe I don't agree with you totally on being pro-life, but I do want to make sure that I'm not taxed to death. So I'm going to vote for this Republican. That's how Republicans have to approach this. This is how voters, if you're out there liberty evangelizing, this is how you got to approach it. You're not to the diminishment of these other issues. You're protecting these other issues. And you're focusing on the strong tent poles that keep that coalition together. Keep everybody under the same tent. That's what you're focusing on. This is strategy 101. Unfortunately, there are some people that think you can Leroy Jenkins the hell out of everything, and then they're shocked when they lose. I'm not kidding you all. This is it. I don't want to be like all, I honestly believe in my heart of hearts, and I've never said this before, I think that this might be it. 2024 is it. I'm not saying that to be sensational. I'm not saying that because I'm trying to entertain you. I'm saying that because I truly believe it. That's why I'm so dour about some of the stuff at the primary. When I see people acting fools and taking petty shots, I want to just slap the hell out of some people. Because it is serious. We have fun and we talk about fun stuff, and I like to keep it light because I'm, you know, a smart aleck by nature. But there's some serious stuff that's happening around this world, folks. There's some serious stuff happening here at home, and we are on the edge of a knife. This is it. I don't have time for loyalty to candidates in a country that overthrew a monarchy. I don't have time for any of that stuff. Where's the loyalty to us? Where's the loyalty to America's future? Where's the loyalty to our economic security? Where is the loyalty to our border security? Where is the loyalty to making sure that we are secure against geopolitical foes? That's the security that I'm looking for. Now, when I look at the House, everything is on the table. Guys, everything's on the table. There are so many seats that the RNC has to defend in the House. It's crazy. And a lot of them are in purple districts where Republicans are falling all over themselves trying to get messaging correct. That's why Democrats are trying to corner Republicans on life so hard, by the way, because they want that to be the crack in the coalition. Our side will respond to that more than their side will. That's what you need to realize. And I see all these people, I see all these Republicans and these strategists and these wannabe influencers. These damn influencers on social media have never moved the needle ever. If they moved the needle as much as they did on social media in meat space, we'd be winning elections right and left. We wouldn't be losing paltry stuff that we normally win. Golly, it's turned into such a scam. But it's a hard truth. It is a very hard truth. We may lose the House. I think we'll probably lose the House. And I'm not telling you this to get you set. If we stay on the same trajectory right now, we will lose the House and we'll lose the Senate too. And I dare say the White House. I'm being honest with you. I know you're so mad at me because I'm being a cynic right now. I'm not giving you opinion. I'm giving you insight. My opinion is I want something totally different. I'm giving you insight though. That's why I keep saying that it has to change. And we're not all the way past that exit yet, but we will be in November. It's got to change. We need liberty evangelism. And the Republican Party's got to get its head on straight. Because we got this. We got Patrick McHenry. He's out. He's leaving. You got Santos out. It's tough stuff. We got to move. Whenever someone's wrong on the internet, rest assured that I'm telling them they're wrong using Patriot Mobile. And I get great satisfaction out of the fact that not only am I telling somebody that they're wrong on the internet, but I'm using a phone service that actually doesn't donate all of our collective dollars to promote and protect the things that we vote against. They don't fight against us at the ballot box, which I appreciate. So there's this immense satisfaction in saving money. An immense satisfaction in a great service. So I can tell people that they're wrong and tell people who need to be told no matter where in the world I am. And then also the great satisfaction of knowing that I'm actually putting financial momentum behind the things that I vote to protect. They also have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. So I also am satisfied that I'm helping to create and maintain U.S.-based jobs. Now, they have some great deals that are happening right now. First off, you can keep your phone, keep your number. You can upgrade. The choice is yours. They have the Black Friday promotion. You get a free smartphone using code Friday76. Now, this is limited time only. I don't even know if it's going to last through the week. I'm just telling you, act now if that's something that you want to do. Just visit, make sure you hit patriotmobile.com/Dana. And don't forget, Friday76 is the code that you got to use to get that free smartphone. So patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Again, that's code Friday76 for the free smartphone. Make the switch today.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I love Mars 9. All right, so first up, a new Department of Defense report says dozens of soldiers were suspected of advocating or overthrowing. This looks like, this is from Vice. It's a dumb story that I don't care about because I think it's fake news. They said, oh, these soldiers were suspected of advocating or supporting overthrow of the U.S. government. Yeah, I feel like this is... also, spot gold rises to record on due to the Fed remarks. Let's see. I'm not going to get into some of these other headlines because they're garbage. But this... we had this yesterday. Americans tapping into retirement savings. Hardship withdrawals. It's a phrase.
Yeah.
Hardship withdrawals. Stay with us. Our partners over at Kel-Tec, the Sub 2K, great firearm, great company, incredibly innovative with the stuff that they make, based right in Florida. And so this is for all of the hikers and the backpackers and the campers and, you know, all of that out there. Because for a couple of decades now, the folds in half Kel-Tec Sub 2K carbine. This has been filling that pistol caliber carbine gap because with options for several popular magazines, including Glock and Smith & Wesson, Sig Sauer, it's so much easier. I mean, it's much easier to take along and you're taking along a lot less as well. And so from now until March of 2024, Kel-Tec is offering a $100 rebate program on any newly purchased Sub 2K from a licensed dealer. So you get yourself a Sub 2K, you get $100, and that goes all the way until March of next year, that $100 rebate. And the Sub 2K, it's just awesome. I mean, you got the ballistic advantage and distance accuracy with that 16-inch barrel. It's easily disassembled for cleaning or inspection. Intuitive sights, adjustable stock, field stripping, super simple. To learn more about the Sub 2K and that $100 rebate program, just visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we've committed as a NATO member that we defend every inch of NATO territory. Then we'll have something that we don't seek and that we don't have today. American troops fighting Russian troops. American troops fighting Russian troops if he moves into other parts of NATO.
I don't think he's moving into, he hasn't moved into any part of NATO. That's Joe Biden being warmonger with that. He hasn't moved into any part of NATO. And I'm not saying this as somebody, I hate whenever you say something obvious like this. Someone's like, why do you love Putin? And I just I'm like, why is assault illegal? We're stating something. He hasn't moved into any of this. Welcome back to the show, by the way. Your super curmudgeon, Dana Lash here. I'm somewhat, like, partially lovable today. At the bottom of the second hour, you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast of the radio program. Channel 347, DirecTV, Facebook, YouTube as well. I mean, they haven't moved anywhere. Where's he gone? I mean, it's a failing, decrepit, just shell of a regime. There's nothing left there. I mean, the guy, if you've seen him, I just can't be, I get that, you know, we got to worry about tyrants. It's very difficult to be worried about tyrants that are like afraid of Winnie the Pooh or, you know, inject so much filler into their face that they look like Jocelyn Wildenstein. Don't Google her. Don't do it. Kane did it. You did it once. It was scary. He still has nightmares.
Scarred.
You're scarred. You can't unsee things. There's no backspace key for that. But I'm just, they're not moving anywhere. They're not moving anywhere. This is about this disputed region that they've been going back and forth over. And I don't think enough people that you see on cable news even know enough about the history of the area to even comment on it, which just muddies the discussion even more. But it's not anything that affects us. That's how I look at it. It's not anything that affects us. And we definitely don't have any interests that are, we don't have any interests that are affected. And I'm certainly not going to watch everyone send their kids over to go and die for somebody else's foreign land in a foreign dispute that has nothing to do with the United States. They're not interested in picking a fight with NATO. I mean, not right now. If they did, it would be as China's lackey. China's the biggest geopolitical threat. And it's like so few people realize this. Nobody in this administration apparently seems to realize this. They're, and I'm not saying this as a reason, let's go to war with China. I don't want to go to war with anybody. War is hell, and it should not ever be on the table unless it's the literal last recourse because we're all going to die. I am very much anti-war. And most of the reason why I'm anti-war is because a lot of the suits that run things can't prosecute a war. They're a bunch of pansies. I think that if you're going to go to war, there should be no rules of engagement. All bets off the table, and you just let loose the hounds of hell and let them do what they need to do. I mean that quite literally. I don't believe in any war is war. And when you mess up to the point where you provoke an armed response from a nation, you deserve the full heat of that nation's response. That's the end of it. I don't believe in any kind. I don't believe in manners or rules in war. Those are rules made up by people who push pencils that aren't in the battlefield. And those are people who get people killed and make wars costly and make them drag on and on and on. People who can't bust grapes in fruit fights shouldn't determine the rules of engagement for those who can. Now, that said, China's still the biggest geopolitical threat. They're not in a position to do anything just yet, but they're making moves to be in that position. And in the meantime, you've got Biden sitting here talking about, Ukraine. We need more money for Ukraine. For what? Not to totally sound like Shorzy, but really, for what? For what, like somebody's pension? What is it paying for? Do we know what, Kane, what did your tax dollars go for? Do you know?
In Ukraine?
I feel like we should get itemized receipts. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man. I think we'd have a lot. I think pensions were just a small part of it.
Well, and then there was that one dude's daughter's vacation home. For so some reason.
Several yachts.
So yeah, I mean, like probably. Who knows? I don't understand. I just don't, I don't get it. But I wish we had wish we really did have an itemized list. That would be great. So we could see where some of our cash went. Speaking of cash and where it goes. That's the other thing that they've been investigating and this is new audio, correct, Kane?
Yes.
Because
he just had a press conference and how he ended it is.
How many times has Biden said, oh, I don't know anything about my son's business. I don't know anything about it.
Oh, man, ever since the campaign trail, 2019, 2020.
Listen to this audio. Listen.
Brandon. Ukraine and also China. There is polling by the Associated Press that shows that almost 70% of Americans, including 40% of Democrats, believe that you acted either illegally or unethically in regards to your family's business interests. Can you explain to the Americans, amid this impeachment inquiry, why you interacted with so many of your son and brother's foreign business associates?
I'm not going to comment that I did not, and it's just a bunch of lies.
You didn't interact with many of their business associates?
I did not. There's lies.
There were lies. Wait, what do you mean they're lies? I mean, they're literal actual emails and receipts that came from your son's computer that you guys admitted was his computer. So, which is it? They can't all be lies. Come on. They can't all be lies. Why is it not? It's not all like that. I mean, the more that he denies it, the worse it looks. The worse that it looks. The more he denies. And they're still like they have. Let me pull this story. I got a bunch of new notes here for you. Because they've got, what is it? They've confirmed Hunter Biden's one of his contacts. They figured out, and this is the IRS whistleblower and the House Ways and Means Committee have been doing the legwork on this. Because they're like, well, he's getting cash in that. Somebody's giving him money to stay, you know, just to kind of, to live. Where is he getting this money from? He's had all these money problems. And when his dad, you know, now that he's in the White House, like who's been giving him money? Well, there was like a big list of people that they suspected. And they had this IRS whistleblower and now the House Ways and Means Committee. And there was this story that came out in New York Post that they identified. They figured out who it was. This guy named Kevin Morris gave him like $5 million to keep him afloat. And it's a very substantial increase that he got from his so-called quote-unquote sugar brother, says the New York Post. They said the guys met for the first time in 2019 at a December fundraiser. And the IRS agent, Joseph Ziegler, he shared the figure and he had receipts at the House Ways and Means Committee. And it said that Morris paid about $2 million in tax debts for Hunter and... Remember the artwork that we're not supposed to know who bought what and when and all that? Yeah, well, he purchased tons of the guy's art. He purchased some of a lot of Hunter's art, kept him afloat. In fact, it was almost $1.5 million worth of art. So that's what he was doing. He's making these crappy paintings that nobody would buy. And then they act like, oh, because he's so good. He's like, you know, it's genius. And they sell them for this crazy amount of money. And then he uses that to, I think the art is worthless that he makes. It's just an exchange so that he looks like he's, oh, I'm actually buying something. I'm investing in something. He gives them this money. $5 million. Dudes don't normally have sugar brothers, do they, King?
No.
I mean, I've heard of sugar bears. It's like the thing that sells cereal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got like, Sugar Bear's got a smooth voice. You know who sounds like Sugar Bear? Our brother Sergio. He's got that smooth delivery. Yeah, that man could sell ice to Yetis. He's got like such a smooth delivery. He's like, well, hello, it's Sergio. I mean, but I don't think that Hunter Biden's sugar brother sounds like that. I don't know why it made me think of Sugar Bear. Dudes don't have sugar brothers. That's weird, right? Like, this is a grown man who's taken money from another grown man. If you draw me a picture, I'll buy it and give you some money. That sounds really cringe.
Their excuse has been, it's been a loan. It's all, every time it pops up, these payments and stuff like this, they say it's a loan, it's a loan.
But if they said, but they got the receipts, they gave him, he's got like almost $2 million for art.
Right.
That doesn't sound like a loan. That sounds like a purchase with no intent to pay back.
Yeah, and the fact that they don't have any documents to prove that it was a loan, and obviously all these loans must be interest-free, I'm guessing, this is where we are.
Maybe we should sell art.
Yeah. I can spit on paper.
I just got a brilliant idea.
What?
I think I could sell art. You know what, next hour, I'll show you how artistic I am, how well I can draw.
Really?
I feel like that SNL skit, you know my name is Simon. Are they going to demonetize me for that, you wankers?
Drawings.
I like to do drawings. Hello, my name is Simon. I've done a drawing for you. Would you like to see?
All right, investors, pay attention.
Investors, could be you.
Pay attention.
I mean, what's to stop you? But why can't we sell art like that, Kane?
We can.
I mean, if
he
he's,
says we can.
Hey, if Hunter Biden can get,
like,
hang on, let me tell, Glaive here. I need a Sharpie and some white paper. I'm gonna notify Glaive, our studio wench, to let him. People are like, wait, yeah, it's Glaive Dover. He's a guy that we've had like around. He used to hang out in the dumpster. Behind the old studio.
That was odd.
Sorry for him.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. And he kept saying that he was locked out of his car, and we're like, you don't have one?
Right.
But okay. I think he was just trying to break in other cars. I don't know. We just, we kept him. We liked him. Anyway, but we could do that. Who's to stop us from drawing pictures and getting millions of dollars, Kane?
Exactly.
That sounds brilliant. So I think, coming up next hour, I think we should show the people. For the people watching the simulcast, the people listening, you can hear the reaction to our amazing artwork. It's going to be like someone viewing a Renaissance masterpiece. I'm sure that's, I'm just saying. We could sell this for millions of dollars. And then use the money for like a charity, like for my coffee fund.
Yes.
That's a charitable thing.
Do you need a straw like Hunter?
No, because it's gross. Right. I just, if there's like, I have
making sure you have
hygienic.
All the tools. I just want to make sure you have it.
That's,
all.
Can I just say, that's so nasty.
All the art
that's
supplies.
So nasty. He does spit it, right, with his mouth?
That is correct.
That's so gross. I mean, I couldn't even be in a gallery where COVID maybe not be a germaphobe anymore because out of spite, I wanted to just lick doorknobs and stuff.
Right.
And be like, to hell with your, well, now I'm going to do it.
If you look closely to his paintings, you're like, wow, those are weird circles. And it turns out that's exactly how bacteria grows.
It's nasty. It's like a collection of all the VD he probably has.
It's not good.
I don't know. Or the STDs he probably has. It's just, I don't know. It's just, but we can do this too. Let's just try our hand at it, Kane. I'll draw a picture of you.
Okay.
And it'll be like a Renaissance masterpiece. Yeah, it's like going
to
be amazing.
high-priced item.
Yeah, I mean, millions of dollars.
Sounds
this
like.
Is could, probably going to go for. I'm just saying we'll put it up on an auction. We'll see how it goes. As we conclude the second hour, because we got Florida Man coming up.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I think we all accidentally got high from the Sharpie. Because I'm drawing Kane right now, since Hunter Biden can sell art for millions of dollars. I'm like, well, yeah, let's just prove that it's not total nepotism and money laundering. So I'm going to draw Kane. It's brilliant so far. All right, first up, a Florida man who exposed himself inside... This is a strong Sharpie. A Florida man, so it's on brand, who exposed himself inside multiple Claremont stores says he was drugged. Was he drugged the last time he exposed himself in multiple stores? A Florida man is facing several charges. He exposed his junk in a Target, a pizzeria, all these different stores. Joshua Brown, 32, was arrested for indecent exposure. I don't understand his mugshot. He looks like... I don't get it. Why he is scared, confused? Why? Who looks like that in a mugshot? Officers arrived at 7 o'clock in the evening to find a man in Target, identified as Brown, showing off his bits and pieces in the business. Yeah, you can't be doing that anywhere like that, obviously. They reviewed surveillance footage, and they showed him doing that and being gross. He's being gross. When they detained him, they found oxycodone and, I can't say this one, clonazepam,
that sounds right.
Yeah, pills. And then he was on probation for a prior conviction of exposing his junk back in December of 2017. And he kept saying that someone drugged him and made him do it. Yeah, no one did, you freak. You did it yourself. What's the matter with you? What's going on with Panera? Now, in St. Louis, Missouri, it's called St. Louis Bread Company. Right. Outside of that, it's called Panera. Right. Nobody knows that, apparently, but it's true. There's now a second lawsuit. I didn't even know there was a first one. Against Panera Bread, a Florida man says that he kicked the bucket from the caffeinated charged lemonade. They said that it was a charged lemonade, and the guy went to cardiac arrest. The guy said he was drinking lemonade for 6 days and was a member of their sip club, where you order unlimited drinks. The charged lemonade has 390 milligrams of caffeine. That's near the 400 milligram daily maximum intake. Did they make this guy drink this lemonade this many times a day?
No.
For 6 days?
No.
Why is it their fault then?
It's not.
You absolute fruitcake. Don't drink the charged lemonade then. Good heavens. This is so dumb. They said that they find it to be without merit, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you can't be doing that kind of stuff. This is like, oh, I drank hot coffee and burned my mouth. I'm going to sue because the coffee's hot. This is so goofy. Let's see. A Florida woman set her Tinder date on fire over $60, say police. This was in Miami. The woman that this guy met set him on fire, 25 years old. Got to be careful with these chicks, man. She wanted the $60 he had on him, and he said no, so she set him on fire. Stay with us.
Madam Ambassador, another question is what care should be on the table when a 12-year-old child in this country, assigned female at birth, says, actually, I feel more comfortable living as a boy. What should the law allow the response to be?
Well, I think the law should stay out of it, and I think parents should handle it.
What? I kind of got a little bit of a problem with that answer. That was Nikki Haley just yesterday. We were having this discussion. First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lashier with you at the top of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, watch the simulcast, channel 347 DirecTV, as well as YouTube. Always good discussion. Facebook as well. I said this on social media yesterday because I think that the clip could have been a lot longer. This is not our people's fault. That's just the clip that was released. It was too abrupt a cut, but there's literally nothing that she could add there that would improve upon it, unless it was but that's not what she said. Here's the thing. There's no way to justify that position because you wouldn't help an anorexic or bulimic child. You wouldn't help them harm themselves with their body dysmorphia. So why would or should hormone or surgical abuse be viewed or treated any differently? That is the whole point. You parents are there as the safeguards. They're there as safeguards. They're there as gatekeepers. This isn't to say that this should be the parents. She's refusing to call out this is a mental illness, which is what it is. And if you're going to surgically remove your appendages, how is this body, because it is body dysmorphia, how is it any different from anorexia or bulimia? I mean, it's rhetorical because it's not. I don't believe that it is. But yet this particular body dysmorphia, which subjects people to a lifetime of hormonal dependency due to earlier hormonal abuse, to say nothing about the health problems that it sets people up to have later on in life, because we don't even understand really, you know, the long-term effects of all this stuff. There's literally no studies on it. And to engage in the surgical mutilation and pretend that it's somehow legitimate medical treatment, that is disingenuous at best. And just incredibly disturbing and culpable. It's culpable at worst. I mean, it's just, there's no excuse for this. How do you play the woman card so often, but you can't affirm women in this debate? That's what I don't get. How does Nikki Haley play the chick card so often? But with this, so what? If a parent wants to allow their kids to drink and drive, do you just allow that? They're to drink underage and drive, do you just allow that too? Should be the parents. I mean, at what point, if a parent is beating their child, physically abusing them, do you allow that because it should be the parent? I mean, seriously, at what point do you, where do you draw the line? Who is she trying to impress, or what votes is she trying to win by acting like that this is some legitimate either medical approach, or to act like it's just simply summed up by parental privacy? I mean, if she's falling on this, where would she stand on grooming? This is the kind of stuff that, this is why people are not fans of Nikki Haley. This is like one of several reasons. But stuff like this, Republicans, she's too afraid to fight the culture war. She's terrified of the culture war. She's not been in that fight. She was afraid to take on Disney. She's taken the wrong steps every single time. By the way, you know, speaking of the situation at Disney, for all the people, because she got that incredibly wrong, the issue with Disney. I mean, Disney was abusing its position to a heinous degree. They were using the way that they had the Reedy Creek agreement set up. They were using tax dollars to pay back dollars to itself. That's what they were doing. And then they didn't pay taxes on all the perks that they had. You would be thrown in jail for that. Disney got a pass. Disney not only skirted state law, but Disney's setup allowed them to skirt federal law as well. And there were people out there who had no idea what this setup entailed that were defending this, including Nikki Haley. I guess she thinks it's okay for some companies to skirt federal law while the rest of us get bent over a barrel to pay for all the money she wants to send to Ukraine. So she's been on the wrong side of the culture war this entire time. And I had someone telling me, well, Dana, you know, I remember when she first got started and, you know, during the Tea Party, don't tell me about the history that I helped create. This is where I will get snotty, because I took a lot of heat and I closed a lot of doors to myself. I ruined my husband's business because of my political activism. And there are communist people that were in the business. They absolutely, because the leftists blamed me and they took it out on his business. He had a very successful business that he ended up having to sell because the leftists could not coexist. So don't tell me what happened during the Tea Party. I paid a lot for my involvement in the Tea Party. I remember Nikki Haley coming onto the stage after the Tea Party had been created, after we had the very first inaugural call, after we planned rallies all around the country, after I stood under the steps of the arch with a tiny little bullhorn and, you know, actually it was like a couple thousand people that came out to that. I remember that. I also remember how nobody really knew a lot about her background, and she seemed, you know, she said a lot of limited government stuff, and the establishment, because they didn't really know her, they didn't support her. But you know what? People change, times can too, and she did also. She went from being someone, I think she recognized that the Tea Party was ascending, and she patterned herself to be on that train. And that was smart maneuvering for a politician. But now, all of the things the stuff that the Tea Party stood for, she seems to not be so much into it anymore. Her foreign policy is definitely opposite of what the Tea Party's was. I mean, she can't even identify what a woman is. I mean, hell, everybody on both sides of the aisle could at least do that back in the day. So I know exactly who she was and exactly who she is. I think that there was some very careful posturing and strategy that was employed. So she could ascend, and then she transitioned into the UN to represent the United States government, and then now this. But she's been on the wrong side of the culture war. And if you don't understand the importance of the battle in culture, then you don't understand how government works, because everything that is policy first starts in culture. Everything. It's all a part. It's all about culture. And so, you know, she was on the wrong side with Disney. She's on the wrong side with this. I mean, what are we going to go for? A trifecta? Is it going to be a hat trick of wrong? What are we going for here? The GOP has a problem. I was looking at some of these other numbers. So basically, actually going into the new year, we're going to be down to a vote. Because we got McHenry leaving. There's another guy who's leaving. We got Santos out. And then now McCarthy's going to be out. We're going to have, I mean, I'm telling you, the Republican Party has got to get it together. Ronna McDaniel, I don't think, is good as RNC chair. And I don't know how they have things running, but it's not good. I mean, this is, where's the RNC been with a lot of the stuff with the universities and the culture war? Where were they at with Disney? Where were they at with that? You know, I'm curious. Audio soundbite 19. This kind of stuff doesn't help either. Can we play this? This is from the town hall last night. Listen.
Well, I saw one person on who I actually had a very good relationship with, but I'm sure that it would end very quickly. I saw him in your debate the other night, and he's slick, but he's got no facts. You know, he's got no facts. I thought he did well, considering...
You're talking about Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, considering that he didn't have the facts, I thought he did well. You know, he said, we have the lowest taxes in the country. We have the cleanest streets in the country.
I get it that he's competing against DeSantis. And what I don't understand... I mean, I do understand it. He doesn't want to say anything that would engender any kind of support for DeSantis. But at some point, I mean, I think it's stupid. DeSantis won that debate, and he is a way better governor than Gavin Newsom is. Nothing is destroyed by stating the obvious or acknowledging that fact, correct? What do you lose by acknowledging that, yes, he clearly won the debate, DeSantis did, but also... The bigger point is that he's a way better governor than Newsom. What harm comes, except to Democrats, from acknowledging that? This is the tribalist BS that I cannot stand. I'm going to tell you what, if you don't want to send your kids to war, you don't want to send your grandkids to war, you don't want to tell your husband or wife goodbye and have them go fight for a foreign land dispute, if you don't want to have to pay, you know, half of your income in taxes, and you don't want a free-for-all at the border and everything else, if you don't want the progressive left determining the algorithm for AI that's going to run everybody's life here probably within the next decade, then you better be playing it serious when it comes to voting in 2024. Because this, ladies and gentlemen, for all the times that everyone had said this is it, this is actually it. We don't have time for hurt feelings. We don't have time for, you know, any of this stuff. And so I look at this. I look at, where's the RNC at? Where's the RNC in directing any of this? Actually, when you come to think of it, You don't really hear a lot about the DNC either, do you? It's not just the RNC that's having problems. Where's the DNC? You have the DNC that can't even bring its party together because you have people who can't even, they can't even pass any kind of condemnation against anti-Semitism that's rife within their own party. It's pretty amazing. So one of the, we got the debate tonight it's going to be taking place. It's in Alabama, I believe, the debate this evening. Goodness. So we have too many. You know, there are a couple of other debates. If you get the email newsletter, I sent this out. There's still a couple of other debates to go. I know. There's going to be another one coming up. I know. It's kind of crazy. There's going to be another debate coming up in the new year. It's a little wild. They've got more for some reason. ABC and CNN, they want each a future GOP primary debate. Goodness.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So Australia's first ever moon rover to be named Rover, after a public competition, received more than 8,000 submissions. That's like when they were trying to name that boat in Britain, Boaty McBoatface. 8,000, and they named it Rover. Rover. They named the damn thing Rover. The other names that didn't make it were Skippy, Wombat, Walkabout. Oh, Rover McRoverface. Of course. They said, why Rover? They don't actually, they just, oh my gosh.
Kangaroo. Roo.
Yeah, but that seems
very Australian.
It doesn't hop. I don't know. I just don't.
Maybe it has a pouch.
Okay, well then I'd accept it for that. Does it have a pouch?
Maybe.
Okay. 1,000 Santas ditched the sleigh in favor of bikes in downtown Milwaukee. That sounds annoying. That's horrible. In favor of bikes. They made their bikes look like sleighs. I don't know. I like that they do it. It's fun, but it's the Santa cycle. Okay. I have a video. Audio will play coming up. That it's why people have the opinion that they do. Let's see. A disciplinary council seeks suspension of an Erie lawyer who said that cocaine enhances his work. Is this Hunter Biden? I'm curious. Like, it has to. They have to be. Also, let's see. NASA's James Webb captures a real monster face in deep space. It's a newly discovered galaxy spewing out of the stars. I think it's a warning. It is legit a warning. It is creepy as all get out looking. Actually, it's as cool as all get out looking. It looks like a ghostly skull. Super cool. Also, let's see. A tire slashing spree solved as Italian police arrest. This is a weird story. This is from The Guardian. They arrested this guy. It's like a mafia style intimidation. And the way that they have The Guardian wrote this story. I want to find the person who wrote it and I want to beat them to death in the street because they were so obsessed with being trying to write like alliterations that they couldn't write the story. Basically, this guy went around slashing tires and they took them like weeks apparently to figure out who was slashing tires. That's what a sting is for. You sit outside and you find out who's slashing and then you arrest them. It's very easy. All right, so coming up, I drew a picture of Kane. I wonder if it could fetch millions. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's better than anything Hunter Biden did. Stay with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why didn't the FBI just say, hey, the laptop's real? Why didn't you just tell everybody the laptop's real? We're not vouching for what's on it, but it's real. This isn't a fiction.
Well, I, as you might imagine, the FBI cannot, especially in a time like that, be talking about an ongoing investigation. Second, I would tell you that at least my understanding is that both the FBI folks involved in the conversations and the Twitter folks involved in the conversations both say that the FBI did not direct Twitter to suppress.
But others were in government.
Well, I can't, again, I can't speak to others in government. Now, that's part of the point that I was trying to make, because the Fifth Circuit's opinion.
But you're the FBI. You're not part of the White House and part of Homeland Security. You're not supposed to be political. You see all this controversy going on. Why didn't the FBI say, time out, folks. We're not getting in the middle of this, but the laptop's real.
Again, we have to be very careful about what we can say, especially in the middle of an election season, because that's precisely some of the problems that led to my predecessor's negative findings from the Inspector General.
Did you hear a gavel?
Thank you, Senator Kennedy.
I heard a gavel.
I like what Senator Kennedy was asking there. He's right, though. He's right. I get it. I mean, I think that why didn't they just say it was real? We all knew it was. They just lied about it over and over again. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. They lied about it. They lied about it to influence an election, really, is what they wanted to do. Because they couldn't have all this come out right before everybody was going to vote. So they had to go and say it was disinformation. Instead of just saying, yeah, well, that's his. The cover-up becomes like the bigger story. Although, I mean, really, the bigger story should be the laptop. And all the stuff that's coming off of it now, including receipts about him getting money. The guy who kept giving him money, floating him money. He'd buy some art, and then Hunter Biden was rolling in millions. $1 million for that guy's spit art. Now, for the last hour on break, I was made myself sick high on a Sharpie, basically. These things were powerful.
Yeah, whenever
I have books come out, and I go through almost a half a box of these things, and I have to sign books at a book event. I mean, after a while, those fumes get you, and you got, but not in a good way. I mean, you're just, ooh. So I was wondering, because, you know, I'm so artistic, and I thought, well, I bet I could draw a picture of Kane. I mean, what's the difference between us and Hunter Biden? You know
right.
what I mean?
I mean, besides straws and crack.
Well, yeah, he's a boy, and he's a male, and also on the drugs and gross.
And
hookers.
He's an infant baby son.
Infant baby son, yeah. He's probably the only old dude that is like they try to act like he's younger than us. And then, of course, don't forget, he's the president's son, merges out the elected office, all those good things. So I drew a picture. I've not shown this to Kane. I was like, well, I bet I could draw a picture of Kane.
Yeah, I was getting excited about it because I feel like I'm at like Six Flags or some sort of theme park where you pay the person to kind of sketch you. You know, you sit there at the
bench. Well, don't get your hopes up. Okay.
What?
I'm just saying,
what?
You know,
what
although
you
I'm super artistic.
What do you,
if you believe that, you'll believe anything.
Oh, no.
There's certain things I can do. Drawing. Well, I can. Let's just say I can master anything. This is a Renaissance masterpiece. Really, it's a masterpiece. So I did this. In my defense, perspective.
You already need
defense? No, perspective.
Okay.
You're in the dark over there.
True.
So it was hard to get your visage.
Got my what?
Your visage.
Got it.
So I drew a picture of you. I think the likeness is amazing. That looks
That's
just
actually,
like you.
That's actually not accurate at all.
No, it looks just like you. We
sure.
got, for the people watching the simulcast, he's always in like a hoodie of some sort. I can't really do shoulders or arms that well. It's still a Renaissance masterpiece.
Right.
He's got headphones on.
Right.
His eyes, I can't draw eyes totally great, but,
clearly.
You know, it's still a Renaissance masterpiece. The facial hair was a little tricky.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just put it all there where the facial hair is supposed to go, the lower face portion.
Could've,
right?
Could have been worse.
He's got the headphones, his cans that he wears for radio. It's over his hair. He's got the cord. Look at the cord I did.
Yeah,
I did a cord for those not able to look.
Attention to detail.
I know. The attention to detail. I got the buttons on your shirt. I got the cord that goes. I mean, it looks literally just like
Hold
you.
Hold on. What is that? What are those words at the bottom? What's it say?
Read it for the audience that's listening at home.
Brought to you by probiotics.
I think that this is probably worth $1 million.
I'd say it's more than that. I mean, I might be a little biased.
Yeah.
And
I think it's worth $1 million.
Completely okay with the fact it doesn't look anything like me, but yeah.
No, it does. It looks totally like you. That is your shirt.
I'm okay with that.
Juan will agree. That's his shirt. That's his shirt.
What?
That's your shirt, Kane. That's your outfit.
I don't want to break the news to you, but those are scribbles on paper.
That's not scribbles. It's Renaissance.
That's lines.
Artistry.
Of stinky Sharpie on paper. That's what that is.
It's your face. I got your nose. Your nose is there, your eyebrows.
Yeah, those aren't exaggerated either.
They're not. I can see them.
So
over
eyes
here.
And eyebrows, or anything that includes eyes, I guess you have a problem with.
No. I mean, did you want me to draw something with your eyes?
I mean, you mean more accurate?
Huh?
Do you mean, do I want you to be more accurate with it?
You know what? Should I use the Christmas card that Greg Abbott sent me? Greg Abbott sent us a Christmas card.
We appreciate the governor for that.
Yeah, he says very nice. They sent us a Christmas card. Yeah. I don't know. I'm awkward. Can you tell? Like, I was raised with y'all. I wasn't raised with them all. I'm like, and they sent us a Christmas card. I don't have any more paper. Otherwise, maybe it's something I can do.
But no, I think it's great. I mean, if you're comparing it to Hunter's finished,
it's better than anything Glenn Beck could do.
I would say yours definitely.
This is better than Glenn Beck's work right here.
Yeah.
Look at that masterpiece.
So how do we get the bidding started is what I'm wondering.
I think we should start at $1 million.
You think the starting should be?
Yeah.
At $1 million.
I mean, I'm sure we're going to get tons
right out of the gate.
Takers.
Like right at the start.
I didn't even spit on it.
$1 million.
$1 million. Who wouldn't want this Renaissance masterpiece of Kane?
Probably if you'd spit, it'd probably be worth $1 million maybe.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. You know what we should do? We should maybe gift it to one of the people that's in the YouTube chat.
Ooh.
As like, you know, because it's like $1 million. We're gifting to you right here.
That's true.
Hand-drawn on break by me. Brain cells were damaged by the Sharpie scent of this image.
The scent is still lingering.
It's like, what do they put in this?
I don't know.
This is wild. Like, it's one marker. And we're all like dizzy. It filled up the whole studio. It's one marker. But
I like it a lot. I think the bidding at $1 million might be a little much to start a bid, but I'm on board
with
that.
This is a mess. Did you see my attention to detail in the background?
Right.
The crosshatch detail in the background. I didn't spit through a straw.
That's true.
See, the Bidens could easily, you know what? Democrats could easily prove to me right now that him getting $1 million for a painting is due to his... I mean, it's not due to his name or anything else. They could do that right now because this is better than his stuff.
Right.
This has form and it looks like something.
Absolutely.
Labeled. It has meaning because it says Kane.
Right.
It means Kane up at the top.
Clearly a sponsored message as well, brought to you
by Big Pro Biotic.
Yeah, Big Probiotic.
Who doesn't sponsor us, but yeah. I think secretly they do Kane.
They should.
But, I mean, a Democrat could give me $1 million for this right now and that would take care of any suspicions I have that Democrats defending Hunter Biden's work, that it wasn't just because they weren't a money laundering thing.
So $1 million it is, starting bid.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we could also, again, you know, I could gift it to somebody in the chat. I'm just saying, you know, we could gift it to somebody.
It is
so like
season.
$1 million donation, $1 million Christmas gift right here.
Tis the Christmas season.
I mean, there's no way I can display this, but I'm going to set it right here on the thing. So there you go, right there. That's pure talent.
I am actually impressed.
It took me an hour to shade your upper lip.
Where have I heard that before?
I didn't steal it. I didn't Biden it from Napoleon Dynamite at all. I didn't Biden it from that at all. Not at all. But for real though, like, I mean, it's normal to draw pictures for your friends and have them give you millions of dollars for it, right?
Is it?
Is it, though?
I'm not sure. And
how? That's normal. That happens all day. You guys deal with that in your friendships, right?
No.
With the Bidens?
No. I've even played Monopoly with friends, and they haven't, they don't even
Yeah,
hand
I don't
over,
play Monopoly with friends.
They don't hand over Monopoly.
Because I won't have any.
For stuff like that.
That's banned. We can't play Monopoly in our house. It always ends with tears and threats of litigation. Never. It's never going to. Uh-uh. And we play Risk, and it ends with usually because I will dominate in Risk. I will dominate.
I
will
Risk
own
since
souls.
My teens. I haven't played Risk since I was in my teens.
You know what else you haven't played?
What? Oh, no.
Warhammer.
Okay.
Yeah. It's okay.
Why'd I open
that
up for that?
I mean, you could squat up right now, but you won't do it
right
because
now,
you're...
I couldn't do it right now. Obviously.
No, not right now, technically, but you know what I mean. All right. So one of the other things, while we've been watching what the Bidens are doing and talking about all our domestic... You know, we got serious issues at the border. Did you know apparently 12,000 people came through the border last night or yesterday?
Just yesterday.
Literally yesterday. There were 12,000 illegal immigrant encounters at the southern border. It's the highest single day total ever recorded. Now, by the way, that that part of that number includes 10,200 plus Border Patrol apprehensions of illegal immigrants. It's the highest for daily totals that they've ever recorded via Bill Melugin. 12,000 a day. That is insane. I don't even think 12,000 a day go into one Costco. That's like a stadium, half a stadium of people.
It's important to put the context of Biden. He's complaining about Ukraine funding because it's tied to border security. We clearly have a problem at the border, yet he's saying Republicans aren't serious about funding Ukraine or the border. This makes absolutely no sense. This is clearly the party that wants open borders.
12,000. 12,000. One day. I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. That's a town of people. That's like two towns of people. Oh my gosh, that's like almost four times the size of the town I was born in. That's how crazy that is. More than 12,000. And they actually apprehended 10,200 plus. One day. There are no words for this.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
That's not dangerous at all. Great job. Have your dog just sit on the bike lane. It's a great parking spot. Great job. Man, that's a nice bike you got there. Sidewalk is on your left.
Wow!
Yep, exactly. That's cross without looking and blame the cyclist. Man, so that's a nice bike you got there. It's a great place to walk. Man, that's a nice bike you got there. Gonna walk right here. Take your time.
That was him. Yep, he didn't slow down for a crosswalk.
Let's not look, use our eyes.
If you're going to act like you're a car and you're going to ride your bike in the street, then you have to obey the rules of the road like a car does. And that means you have to stop for people in crosswalks. He got mad at this chick, a couple of people, because they were in a crosswalk. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're concluding this third hour of our broadcast. I saw this video yesterday. I don't dislike, I have friends who ride cyclists, they ride bicycles. I don't know how to say it. I have friends who enjoy doing that as like a hobby. But the way they do it and the way that I see like a lot of these people in videos and some of my experiences with other people, like my friends understand they're in a bicycle and if they're going to ride with the cars, they obey rules of traffic. I cannot tell you. So like in Texas, you got to stop when you make a right on red, right? This was maybe 3 weeks ago. I was at a stoplight. I was two cars back from the person. Actually, there was a car in between us, the car that was getting ready to go. And they had stopped. I saw the bicyclist coming up on the right. And the car stopped. They were going to make, there was nobody coming. He stopped as he was supposed to, and he was going to make a turn on the red, right? This bicyclist, because there were people, it was the light that for the people who could turn, they could go. So the people who were in the left turn lane, they could turn left, and the people opposite you could turn right. There was nobody opposite us to turn right, so it was clear. This bicyclist, I watched this dude, literally all in his pro bicycle gear. He blew through that red light and was just cycling across in the crosswalk as this guy is turning. And then he honked his little bike horn and flipped the guy off. And I'm like, that guy had right of way. If you're going to, and the bicyclist was not on the sidewalk. He was with the cars because it was like pretty traffic. I had something to do and it was in rush hour. And if you're going to be in the road like that, you have to observe the rules of the road. And thankfully, you know, this guy turning, he was in a truck. He was slow. And he, you know, tapped his brakes, but the bicyclist acted like I cannot tell you how many times I've seen this. I saw bicyclists almost murder themselves in a roundabout because they did not know how to they did not know how to do a roundabout. Every interaction I've had with them on the road has been, they've almost gotten themselves killed or they've almost killed somebody. Now, my friends aren't like that. Of course, they've been doing this like forever though. Like they've been cyclists forever and they love doing it. Like they just, it's scenic and they enjoy it. But man, I'm telling you, that's why people don't like bicyclists. Is that right there? They're all leftists. The smart ones, I think, are honestly conservatives, and I think the ones that are bad are leftists. I really do think that. All right, today's stupidity, Kane.
Woo! All right. This is going to have to be... It's going to have to be Biden today. No, actually, you know what?
I'm going to hold up my masterpiece.
We're going to do this. AOC. If you don't mind, AOC, this is cut 17-1, if you don't mind playing this. This is... Imagine saying this and not recognizing the irony and all of it. Listen what AOC says.
We're here today because there's a proposal here, and there are several proposals here, to further marginalize trans women in sports. And I think about this all the time because trans people in the United States doesn't even exceed 1% of our population. And yet there is so many resources and energy and time dedicated to figuring out how we can more finally exclude them from our sports. And I thought, why so much effort and dedication on such a tiny portion of the U.S. population?
A violation of privacy?
That's really not what that is. But what about the privacy of the girls who want to change in the locker rooms without boys being in there? Yeah. Folks, have a good night. I'll be back with you tomorrow.